Welcome to the Little Victorian Boy podcast. I'm Little Victorian Boy, and I'm going to tell you a story. This story is called Marty's New Year's Kiss. Enjoy. It was New Year's Eve, and Marty Cumberling was drunk. He had spent the better part of the evening downing glass after glass of complimentary champagne at his office's New Year's Eve bash, hoping to build up the courage to make a move on Rachel, a data analyst Marty had had a fixation on for almost a year. In his mind, it would play out like the end of When Harry Met Sally, but in actuality, it turned out like this. Hey, Rachel, I want to say, look, I feel like we vibe, you know, and like, we're both hot. I mean, you're hot and like hot girls in this city, like so many of them just don't, like, they don't get me, but I feel like you do. And like, and at that, Marty leaned in sloppily for a kiss and was quickly rebuffed. Whoa, Marty, stop. You're like really drunk. And for one thing, I have a boyfriend, said Rachel. You do? Yeah, I do. I introduced you to him earlier tonight. That guy? Yeah, Marty, that guy. Were you not listening to me? Marty hadn't been. He was imagining performing a particularly acrobatic sex act on Rachel when she was speaking to him, and he hadn't heard a word she had said, least of all about her boyfriend. Marty, look, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, so I won't mention this to anyone, but you should really sit down and maybe get some water. You don't look well. Marty didn't look well. He had been swaying gently back and forth, and his eyes couldn't really focus on anything in particular. But he didn't want to hear that, not from some woman who just rejected him. No, you don't look well, Rachel, he said. You look like a fucking bit. And he threw up on her dress. Marty was escorted out of the office building by security. But he was not the first tech bro these security guards had escorted off the premises, covered in his own vomit. Marty worked for a tech startup that had just gone public. It was the future, full of wealth and youth, and known for its party culture. The security guards called Marty a rideshare and sent him home. As Marty sat in the back of the Prius, he looked at the city around him. He laughed. This city used to be fucking cool. Now it's a joke. Look at this. Homeless on every corner. It's disgusting, he said, belching up a little vomity breath. The driver had grown up in this city. He had seen the city change for the worse, though his reason for why differed slightly from Marty's. Just don't puke in my car, he said. You think I can't hold my liquor, Marty said, with the arrogance of someone who didn't have puke on his shirt. The driver turned up the radio and tried to ignore him. I'm not going to puke in your shitty fucking car. If I did, it's probably because you're swerving. So drive straight and I won't puke, okay? 5 minutes later, Marty was kicked out of the Prius for puking. What the fuck? You have to drive me home, cried Marty as the driver sped off. Marty stumbled and pulled out his phone to give the driver a bad review, only to realize that his company had paid for it. He tried to call another, but his phone died just as he went to hit reserve. Fuck. Fine, I'll walk, Marty said to no one in particular. Marty strolled through the city, a city he'd lived in for 5 years and had never really known, other than his loft apartment, the office complex, and the occasional brewery, club, or stadium. Marty always drove, unless he was too drunk and then he took a rideshare. Either way, he was always in a car when he traveled. He never walked. You learn a city from walking through it. You connect to it in a different way. You immerse yourself in its sights and sounds and smells. And since Marty had never walked through this city, he was a stranger to it. He knew where his apartment was, however. It was next to the clock tower and on the other side of the large park and nature preserve. Marty could see the peak of the clock tower over a few old factory buildings that are now luxury condos. This was Marty's first bit of good luck this evening and would be his last. Marty set off towards the clock tower and soon came to the edge of the park. He'd heard on the radio that the park was dangerous at night, but his feet were tired and he could see the damn clock tower from there, and it would take him forever to walk around this pointless park. Waste of space, he thought, just a camping ground for the homeless. Marty considered the dangers of the park. He was a little afraid of it. with its dark, winding paths and knotted, twisting trees like the cover of a Goosebumps or something, a Goosebumps being the last literary reference Marty could think of. But he was drunk and feeling a little self-destructive, given how the events of the evening panned out with Rachel. Fuck it. If they want to mug me, I'll fuck them up. I fucking kill them. I'll kill them. If they want to fucking kill me, they can kill me, but I'll kill them, he said, not knowing exactly who them were. And then Marty stepped onto the grass and began crossing through the park. The park was deserted, no camps of homeless, no one at all. Marty thought, oh, this isn't so bad. Police probably came in and cleared him out. Good. And he kept walking, feeling a bit more courageous as he did. He imagined violent scenes where a group of masked gang members attacked him, and he would say something cool and then beat them to death with his bare hands. He'd rip the mask off one attacker, and the face shifted in his mind from mugshots he'd seen on the local news to extras in The Batman, and finally he landed on the face of Rachel's boyfriend. He smiled as he imagined crushing the man's eye sockets with his bloody knuckles, reminiscent of a scene in Fight Club, a film that had defined Marty, but one he had not understood. No, it's not his fault. It's fucking Rachel, he thought. She's been dating him this whole time while leading me on. She's one of those girls, the kind that flirts with you while fucking someone else. It's sick. For the record, Rachel had never flirted with Marty. She had just been nice to him. Marty kept walking, rambling, misogynistic rants to himself, pausing for moments to say, this would make a great podcast. Like, it would be for men. But ultimately, it would be for women, you know, because like it's educational for them, so they know how to not act like a fucking bitch. And at that moment, Marty stopped walking. He saw something strange in the park. It was a woman. She was standing alone by the edge of a dark lake. Marty approached her, and as he got closer, he saw more of her, and the more he saw, the more he liked. She was thin, with dark, curly hair. Her face was pretty, full lips, big eyes, a cute nose speckled with freckles. Her skin was pale and seemed to reflect the moonlight, radiating a soft glow. Hi, he said as he got close. She looked startled for a moment, then softened. Hi, she replied. Probably not safe to be by yourself in the park. You're by yourself, she retorted with a coy smile. Yeah, but like, I'm a guy, so yeah, you are. And you look like you could handle yourself. Marty blushed. Yeah, I can handle myself all right. He couldn't. So what are you doing out here? Oh, I don't know, the mysterious woman said, gazing into the water. My boyfriend, Marty's heart sank. My boyfriend dumped me tonight. Marty's heart rose again. Oh, no, he said with a little too much joy in his voice. Yeah, on New Year's Eve of all nights. He went off with some bitch. Ugh. And I just felt like I had to go for a walk and clear my head. And I ended up by this lake and I thought it was really beautiful, you know? Yeah, said Marty. Something similar happened to me, actually. My girlfriend dumped me, too. And I was like, you know, whatever, because, you know, I'm better off. And then I took a walk to clear my head. And then I saw something beautiful, too. But it wasn't the lake. it was you. Marty thought that line was going to come out smoother. But to his surprise, the girl smiled. Thanks, she said. You know, I'm surprised to hear that you got broken up with. I mean, if I were your girlfriend. And then she cut herself off. Oh, what? He said a little bit too eagerly. Let's go swimming, the girl said, changing the subject. Swimming? But I don't have a suit. Marty immediately regretted saying that. Of course she meant skinny dipping. This was one of those manic pixie dream girls he had seen in so many movies. And she was real. And was into him, and as Marty's mind flushed with ideas of sex and love and fucking validation, the woman walked into the lake. Hey, you're getting your dress wet, he cried. This dress, she said, turning to him now waist deep. I should probably take it off then. She pulled the soaking wet dress off over her head and threw it onto the shore. Marty stared for a moment, transfixed on her breasts. before frantically ripping his suit jacket off. He slipped his shoes off, then clumsily pulled his pants and boxers down, which caught on his ankles. And while he kicked his feet free, he simultaneously pulled his shirt off, the dried vomit sticking to his stomach as he did. It was perhaps the least sexy way for a man to get naked, and the girl laughed, but not in a mocking way. Freeing himself from his pants and crusty shirt, Marty ran in after her. As he reached the girl, the clock tower behind them struck midnight. The two looked at it for a moment. Fireworks exploded over the city. Marty looked back at this girl in the lake. She was perfect. "Happy New Year," she said, with a glint in her eye. "Happy New Year." He didn't get the whole phrase out, because she interrupted him with a kiss. She kissed him with force, and he was taken aback by the aggressiveness of it. But he gave in, and he pulled her close. His hand slid down the small of her back, and then he felt something strange. Right at the base of her spine was a tail. She had a thick, fleshy tail. Marty jumped back, pulling away from her. "What the fuck is that?" he said. But the girl didn't respond. Her mouth continued to kiss at nothing. Her eyes rolled back in her head, and she began to rise out of the water. Her naked body twitched and convulsed as she was lifted by the tail. No, not a tail, exactly. An arching rod of flesh connected to something in the water behind her. The girl's body, a puppet, dangled in the air, connected to the head of a massive fish that slowly emerged from the center of the lake. Its mouth, gaping 10 feet wide, began to suck in water. Marty tried to turn back toward the shore, but he slipped on the slimy lake bottom, and he began to float toward the open maw of the great lake fish as the water around surged toward the beast's throat. He struggled to swim against the current, but it was no use. He passed under the girl hanging above him, and then under the shadow of the fish's mouth, then the jaws slammed shut. His muffled screams were heard by no one as the sounds of fireworks drowned them out. The fish's head slowly submerged, and the girl was lowered back down. Her eyes rolled forward once again. She cracked her neck, licked her lips, and walked back to shore. She picked up Marty's clothes, tied them around a stone, and flung them in the lake. Then she put the dress back on, looked up at the clock tower, and watched the rest of the fireworks display. And that is the story of Marty's New Year's kiss. I hope you enjoyed this little tale of New Year's romance and love from Little Victorian Boy. If you'd like to listen to a bonus podcast episode, I have one on the Patreon account. That's patreon.com/littlevictorianboy. You can donate any amount of money at all, and you can listen to that extra podcast as well as all of the other secret podcasts that I did last year. So enjoy that, and happy New Year.